And also, it's a great conversation starter. When you hop on a video call with people for the first time and you have like a microphone, they'll also like be like, oh, are you like a streamer? Are you a podcaster? Every time I show new people into my room and they see my setup here, which to be fair, looks pretty sick. They always say, are you a streamer? Are you a YouTuber? And then it's immediately like a conversation starter. So yeah, I think it's a good investment. And it's not that big a deal. I know it kind of feels weird to get a microphone at first, but why would it be a big deal? It's like a technical piece of equipment. Who would get like awkward about it? It's just like a piece of tech on your desk. So
yeah, that is true. Like it is nothing more. It doesn't do anything else other than make everything sound better. So yeah.
Yeah.
And how was your week in general?
My week was not too bad. So at least on the health front, I think I've made some progress. So I still have a sore throat. I'm still like coughing a lot. But my Whoop data has been getting increasingly better. I really tried to focus on like getting my sleep back into rhythm, and it has been getting better every night. And my recovery is in the green again. So I'm really glad about that. So from that regard, it's been a good week. And then in regards to everything else, it also wasn't too bad of a week. I did some studying, and that's been going somewhat well. My business is going well. I also started reading a lot more. So in general, like, I've started reading again. I think we talked about me reading the Don't Die book by Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
I have to stop mentioning him every time. It's terrible. But after finishing that book, I started reading a new book, which I found super interesting, which unfortunately was also like a recommendation from Brian Johnson. But it's called Zero, The Biography of a Dangerous Idea. And that's a super interesting book because it's about the story of the number zero and how that number needed to be invented. Because to us, obviously, it seems like a super obvious number. You just have zero, you use it in all kinds of settings. And zero is a special number, right? But that number had to be invented. And so, yeah. And this is really like part. I'm not particularly interested in like the number zero itself. But I mentioned that I want to become good at maths. And so for me, like reading about something is like my approach, not just trying to, you know, get the highest marks on the exam, but really becoming fascinated with the topic. So that's why I'm trying to approach it from like different sides, like both studying maths at uni, but then also like using this additional stuff from the outside to get me like excited about the topic instead of just like narrowing down on my exam preparation.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds good. That sounds really interesting, actually. I might have to I have so many books I need to read. I will read it eventually, I guess. My week was kind of similar. I mean, it was a weird week because I was like really motivated to do things that weren't study. Normally it's like the other way around, but I had an exam on Wednesday. I think it was physics exam. It went quite like it was bad, but not just for me. It was bad for everyone. At least I didn't have pressure. Like I didn't have pressure to do well because I had already gotten a good mark the other exam. But the other people that did were kind of, I don't know, I feel like they were stressed the whole week. So it was kind of, the environment was kind of weird in like class. Everyone was like really stressed. They had to do this. And because I feel like when people do bad in an exam, they get freaked out and need to do really good in everything. So I got really stressed because everyone was like, I did 20 math exercises and whatever. And I was, I don't know, this week, my motivation, what I just said, wasn't that good. It normally happens when I approach my period, which is kind of things that I'm trying to learn about. And I've noticed that usually happens. But I did start going to the gym again, which is good. I'm happy about it. I was able to fit it in. And I think this is going to work. But I've also been feeling a bit tired and like I don't have time to sleep because for example, I went to the gym on Thursday.
That's not good. Just as a side remark. That's terrible.
It's not. And I fell asleep the other day because I overslept for 2 hours and I had lab. Like I had to take an Uber to school because I wouldn't have gotten I was an hour late, but I would have been like 2 hours late if I gotten like public transport. But what I was saying, I went to the gym on Thursday after studying, so about like 7:38. So I was trying to make it as quick as possible, but I got home at like 9, and then I had to shower, and then I had to have dinner. And obviously, so the gym fit in pretty well there, but I didn't take into account everything else after that. So that's something I have to think about. But I'm excited to think about it because I do think that's the best time. It's just now, I don't know, school is not going that well because other parts of my life are going better. I just wish everything would like be good together, you know. But yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's always happy. Like the difficult part. Yeah, like trying to balance everything. Because it is, I think, I talked to a friend about this recently. He was, you know, at my place on Friday. And we talked about, you know, especially like balancing exercising and studying. And we both talked about this experience where, so we're both really like, we want to do well at both of these things. But it's usually like more so like the reality is usually some kind of phasal change. So we have one phase where we're really like focusing on like exercising, we're exercising like 5 times, 6 times a week, right? Really getting down, sleeping perfectly, eating well, and that's going amazingly well. But then during that time, we're not studying at all, or like barely. And then in other phases, now that we're like the exams are coming up, we're all really like narrowing down on the exam preparation. And it becomes really hard to fit these other things in. And also just like from a mental perspective, like focusing on two like big parts at the same time, it's just difficult. And you get into either mindset, like you're either in the mindset of, okay, let's get the studying thing going. And it almost requires also like a different mindset than the one, you know, trying to exercise a lot. Yeah, and that actually brings me to something which I might want to talk about, because you also mentioned it with the exam and all of the other students around you being super stressed. I feel like there really is something about the current atmosphere, or like the way you sort of experience like your surroundings in a certain period, that really determines how you feel about your life, how motivated you are, whether or not you feel like you can sort of do these things that you want to do, or whether you feel like you can't do them. I don't know. What's your experience? I often have this, especially when it comes to music, because music to me is always the sort of like the connection I draw to certain phases of different atmospheres. So for example, like me trying to get into the studying mode right now with the exam preparation, what I've been doing is I've been listening to this one album, which I listened to in England, actually. And I listened to this album in England 24/7. Every morning when I took my cold shower in this bathroom, because we didn't have a warm shower, there was only a cold shower. It was terrible. No, it was great, actually. But I always listen to this album, and it's the original soundtrack of the movie The Theory of Everything. It's the story of Stephen Hawking. And it has, so the first song is called Cambridge, right? Which fitted very well with this like boarding school environment and like the studying mindset and all that kind of stuff. It's like this piano type of stuff. And so now trying to get into the studying mode, I listen to this again to get me into that atmosphere of like trying to challenge myself intellectually. But when I want to be like in the exercising mode, I have like different other things I listen to or I watch to get me into that kind of mindset and atmosphere. Do you have a similar experience that you experience like different phases of like atmospheres and like feelings, and that it sort of like changes from phase to phase? Or do you feel like your experience of life is fairly like stable and similar throughout the years?
No, what you said about music that like I can relate to that. I have a play. So after I left Ackworth a year later, I made a playlist of Ackworth of the songs that if I listen to them, they just remind me of that time period, because those were the songs that I used to listen when I was there. But like right now, if I listen to one of those songs, it like instantly that's that period. And then I think it was last year, like the year before, I really got into R&B. And now when I listen to that kind of music, again, is that time period and what happened in that time period. Because I remember walking a lot during that time period. So when I put the music on, I remember that time period, like, and then walking. So it's kind of surrounds that, but I don't think I have like a music, like some music for studying, and that reminds me of studying, some music for the gym that reminds me of the gym, I guess. Because I do that with listening to music or listening to podcasts. So it depends of what I'm doing and what mindset I'm feeling. Sometimes I just don't feel like listening to music and I listen to podcasts, but that kind of relates to if I'm feeling in that, not specifically for the content, it's just for what I'm doing. So sometimes I'm just in the bus and I've been thinking a lot about getting better in certain areas of my life and not as much in school. So normally that's just podcasts, but that's what I feel like listening, not because I'm looking for content specifically, it's just what my body wants, kind of. And when I'm kind of out of that zone, I guess, I just crave music in a way. If I'm going out more, even if it's not going out music, it could be classical music, whatever, but it's just the feeling that I want to listen to music. It's kind of like that. Because when I study, I don't usually listen to music except for sometimes like jazz, but Yeah, I don't know if that relates to what you were saying, but that's kind of my experience with listening to something and relating it to what I do, what I feel like in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find it really interesting because looking back, I really like vividly remember like certain phases of my life where the world around me felt like a certain way. And especially looking back at those times where the world around me felt difficult or like a burden or something, where everything felt like very dark and sort of, I mean, often that even does relate to like the seasons. Like I remember like dark winters, which felt like heavy on my soul and that just like felt difficult. And I look back on these times and then I compare them to like other times where life felt like super light and easy and fun and like a playground, which is always like the metaphor that I use, right? And then I really just like ask myself, what was the difference between those times? Because they might have taken place in the same environment, right? I mean, I lived at home like the first 18 years of my life, with the exception of this like 1 year in England, right? But during that time, I had very different phases where the same environment felt very different to me. And same here, like now that I'm living in Munich and with the exams, for example, like the fact that there's exams coming up changes something about the atmosphere. And you can see that when you go to university and you talk to your peers, or you just sit down in a classroom with them or like a big studying hall, and you can feel like the tension that's in the air. And to me, it's just like so strange because all of that, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I'm not the neurobiologist or anything, but I wonder if there's like any substance to that, because fundamentally nothing changed about the environment. And the exams aren't even there yet, for example, right? You're still just like studying, you're just still just listening to the lecture. But for some reason, something's different about the way everything feels. So I really do wonder where that comes from and how we can maybe like influence that in some kind of way to get to those experiences of the atmosphere as being like nice and good, right?
Wow, that I hadn't thought about that specifically, but I do totally agree that that happens. And I do also have vivid like visions of exam week last year, exam week the other year, and they're all different, but then it's like a specific period that you remember because it was different for whatever reason. I mean, I guess what changes, maybe not the environment, but your mindset of what you're focusing on changes. So I guess, I don't know, I would like to know like the scientific thing behind but we have no idea. So, but I don't know, I guess that kind of, so what you said about making it positive or having, having periods where you remember, wow, this was really positive, or I was really focused, or this environment, I just had a good feeling about this time period. I don't know. I guess that's, I remember when I wrote a blog post about romanticizing life, that was kind of what I had in mind in it. Cause when I associated moments and periods with these positive things I decided to do. So when I remember, so if I study and I put a candle, I light up a candle, and then that's for my exam week every day, I have a candle lit up and it's a positive experience. When in the future I light a candle, I'll think of studying, but at the same time, I'll think of it as something more positive. And I guess that's something, some things you can do in that time period. Because if you decide to listen to that specific playlist during that time period, you are the one deciding how you're going to remember that period. So if you decide to listen to sad music in a period of your life, you might remember that as, like, when you listen to a sad song, you might remember that time period. And that's you who's deciding to do that, even if it's your body kind of wanting you to do that, and that's why you do it, I guess. But you are the one deciding, so you can make it into more positive things. I don't know if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. This is a perfect example, like this, listening to sad music, that's something I'm so guilty of. And I want to believe that I have some kind of awareness that when I do that, I am actively deciding to lean into a certain emotion and a certain atmosphere, right? So again, by atmosphere, I just mean like the perception you have of the world around you during that time. And I always ask myself, I mean, I often fail to stop myself, but I do ask myself, okay, do I want to lean into this? Because it has certain consequences, right? But yeah, fair point. I mean, I guess there are certain things we can do. And I think it's also a question of, especially when you're not quite sure how you want to feel about a certain time period yourself, then it's also a question, to what extent do you want to adapt the common or like shared atmosphere that the people around you have, right? Because in an exam time, it's so easy to let the stress of others suck you into this void of also getting really stressed. So I guess that's also like a decision you have to make. Do you want to sort of lean into the shared atmosphere? But yeah, I just find it interesting. I'm thinking especially about the extreme examples where, for example, let's keep using the exam preparation metaphor or analogy. If you have an exam preparation, you will have the super high performers who are familiar with the content, they feel confident about the exams, and they will have a fairly chill experience about the entire time. They will do their studying, but they will do it with the feeling, okay, I can do this, I will do well, it'll all be fine, all good, nothing to worry about. They will have a pretty positive experience of their time. And then you will have the people on the lower end of the spectrum, knowing that it'll be really difficult, that they might not pass, and that they might face like even like worse consequences by not passing, right? Like potentially having to drop out or something like this. So they will have a very narrow and like tight and dark perspective and experience of the time period, right? And to me, it's just fascinating that those two people can sit in the same room next to each other doing the same thing and have this totally different experience. And yeah, just experience those same times in a very different way. So obviously it would be admirable or, yeah, useful to try to get to the point where you're always at the end of the spectrum where you have a positive experience of the time. But I guess that's, yeah, practice and then adapting the things you can do. Yeah. I also think about people with depression, for example. Because again, as someone, if you're again, like on the capable side of the spectrum and you feel like you've got your life in order and you feel like you're on top of things, you might have this perception looking at a depressed person. Well, why don't you just go for a run? I know that's something I'm guilty of. Like when people around me feel bad, I always tell them like, just go for a run, man. Just exercise, get some sleep, like eat a proper meal. It'll all be fine. You'll be back on top like by the end of next week. But then again, these people might be in a phase where their perception of their surroundings is like so dark and difficult that these things will simply be like way out of their area of like what's possible for them to do, right? So yeah, I don't know. Again, like we don't have any answers. We're not scientists or anything, but I just find it fascinating. And especially in an exam period, I think this definitely comes up looking at your peers at university.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have this one friend, which I think about a lot. She's a friend in my class. And I think we have kind of the same capabilities, I guess. But what really is, like, what really differentiates us is mindset, like, completely. Her results are not that great. And I really think it's because of her mindset, which is what you're talking about, that I'm not saying she's depressed, but she does see a therapist and, well, not to call her out or whatever, but it's not going that great for her. And this is mainly because of university and how she approaches it. And it's really frustrating because my reaction to that is, well, don't think about it in that way, just be positive about it and focus on what you really can do, which is studying and resting and just not giving up. But for example, her reaction to her not knowing something is, well, this is, I'm not good at this. And my reaction is, well, I'm not good at this, I should do more because I'm not good at this. And her reaction is just to not do anything, which is why I'm doing better than she is, but with the same capabilities. And that's just because how she was raised, I guess, or how her genes, or I don't know how this works, but her personality is just like that. And it really, because I feel your personality is more like my personality, and it's just, we take more of a controlled aspect. Yeah, we have more of a, yeah, trying to, we know what we can control, and we decide, we control our reactions, our emotions, and we don't let them kind of control us in a way. And it's just really strange to see people not being this way when it's the much better, I feel like, and the much more, the much easier, because I feel like I'm much more happier when I think about these stuff. I could be exactly like her because I've been doing bad in some exams. But I don't know, how can you help someone who doesn't have that mindset? Because they don't want to help themselves. And you have that mindset, that's why you can help yourself. But if they don't have that mindset, they don't let others help them, and they don't help themselves. So I don't know. I got really into like a rumble there, but it's something I think about often, and I don't know what do you think, like, you should do when someone is like that, and you know how to be better, feel better, but what do you tell them? What if they don't see it that way? It's just how people see life so differently, and it's the exact same circumstances, I guess, for that same person, for that the other person. I don't know.
Yeah,
do you understand what I said?
Yeah, I think I understood the question. I don't know. It is definitely difficult. But I think I'm not a scientist, disclaimer, but I believe I have read, again, take it with a pinch of salt, but I believe by genetics you do have a certain tendency, whether you're more so like a positive thinker or more so a pessimistic thinker, and that is something that's like a baseline difference between different people. So for some people it will just be easier to tend to their positive perception of their surroundings and to taking a positive approach on things which are going badly or something like that. And there will be other people whose intuitive reaction to things will be darker and more pessimistic, right? And so it might just be that you're in a situation where you're the type of person for whom it's easy to go to the positive perspective, and you might be dealing with a person whose default is going to like the negative perception or the negative perspective. And then, of course, it'll take more energy, just like from a physics perspective, trying to get these people from their baseline thinking to a positive perspective on the same matter that you're both dealing with, right? And that's, of course, like difficult. Again, I'm also not a psychologist. Unfortunately, I don't have any certificates at the moment. We'll see how that might change in the future. But yeah, it's difficult. And especially if you care about those people and you're trying to help them. I'm actually not quite sure about myself whether, because you said it, if I tried to connect it to what I just said, that you believe that both of us are more so like the positive thinkers in the sense that when we have a problem, we believe we have a certain level of control over changing that in our favor, right? And I guess that's, I would probably sign that paper and say we can both agree on that. But I would actually argue, again, I don't have any tests or anything, but I feel like that my baseline perception is actually not too positive. I very easily fall into like the negative perspective. And again, going back to what I said earlier about like listening to sad music, for example, I almost have a craving to go to the darkness, to the dark side of things. I don't know if that's because I watched too much Star Wars and I always like the dark side of the Force. Maybe it has some connection with that. But yeah, for me, I really do. For me, it really helps being around people who have a positive mindset and who aren't stressing too much about things. That really helps me stay on this like positive level. And then again, just like implementing systems that prevent me from getting into like really dark places. So I don't have like a direct need to even be like super negative. But yeah, it's difficult. Again, when you're dealing with someone you care about, I'm thinking especially about family relationships also. Maybe that's also because I have some sort of, I can relate to that in some extent. If you have like a family situation, you might have a family member that you're trying to support, but you see they're struggling with something, could be anything. And then you want to help them, but it's just difficult because they have a totally different approach and mindset than you. So yeah, it's challenging. I don't know. Do you have any experiences like that where there's like someone you want to help and you feel like it's just, do you also feel like you get along well with people who have a very different mindset in regards to this like positive or negative perception? Or do you feel like that's for you just like a game breaker in terms of even developing like a relationship or friendship?
In general, as what I have experienced, I don't, like, I get along fine with people who have a different mindset in that aspect. But when I think of specific situations where that has been kind of a problem, I do realize that that is kind of a deal, not a deal breaker, as in if I see this, I'm going to definitely say no. But that would be a big problem in certain relationships and where I would feel the need to help, obviously, my partner or family member or friend, but where my mindset and my way to help would be so different from what they want or they need, that would just result in some kind of conflict just because of the way of the things I would give and they would need. That would just be a conflict. In general, it's not a problem because it doesn't reach that level. But in the past, if I think of certain periods, for example, my mom is more negative, I'd say. And I've always tried to support her on things that have gone in her life. But sometimes I would find myself getting annoyed with her mindset, which is not her fault. Or maybe yes, I don't know, but that's just how it would feel. And I guess I think that would happen with a partner if that was their approach to life and problems. So yeah, I had thought about this, but I forgot I thought about it because I thought about it during that time period. And yeah, I don't think I could be with a person who is... not, they can be less positive than me, obviously, but not entirely negative. Or at least they would have to want to be positive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Okay, I'm going to throw something at you and then you can give me your perspective on the same topic. So for me, because I do actually enjoy like going to the negative side of things, I do enjoy, it sounds kind of stupid and I'm not trying to dramatize it or anything, but I do sort of enjoy going into like the darkness of emotions. And I'm thinking about this and asking myself, well, might there not also be some kind of benefit to going to that end of the spectrum, right? And then you can give me your opinion on it afterwards. So I'm going to give you an example, and that is just like the evidence that there's a ton of movies, right, whose entire goal is to go to like a negative emotional state and then to use the energy from that and like the desperation from that, the tension from that, to then create something positive. And to me, I wonder sometimes to what extent, you know, it is actually necessary for us to experience these bad emotions and to feel depressed or sad or lonely or whatever, to just have a reason to try going the other way. And I often wonder, and that's something which to me seems like a fundamental problem, because again, like both of us, we want to have a stable life. We want to do well all the time, right? We want to have this consistent, just like, graph going upwards, no cuts, no throwbacks or anything. And that would obviously be ideal, right? We both want that. But then again, I ask myself, is that possible? Because from personal experience, I look at myself, I always have this shift, right? So I'm doing well at something. I get into a comfortable position where everything's going well. I'm sleeping well. I'm eating well. I'm studying. I'm exercising. My business going well. Everything's good. But then like I sustain that for a bit. And then I get so comfortable that I allow myself to go back from that track. And then I don't know. I'm not quite sure if I even want myself to crash back down. So I have like a cool story to bring myself back up, because like the bringing yourself back up is also like the fun part. At least it seems to me it is, right? When you're like, when you know you're doing really badly right now and then deciding to take that first step, like cleaning up your room, going for the first run again, sitting down to study, that feels really good. It feels satisfying. And to me, as someone who's really into narratives, it also makes me feel like this hero, because I'm like going from rags to riches all over again. And I know maybe that's a totally unhealthy behavior, but I don't know. Do you think there is like a benefit also like from your personal experience, maybe going into this bad, these difficult and like bad and emotional states, to then use that as like a thing to get back up?
Yes. I mean, from a personal experience, because I'm not that way, I guess. That doesn't really happen, but I do kind of think it would be valuable if that happened, because you know what I'm always telling you, that I rationalize, like, if I eat something, I'm like, well, that I didn't want to eat, I'm like, well, it's okay, it's not the end of the world, just don't eat it next time. I'm like positive about it, which is kind of annoying. Yeah, which is kind of annoying. I shouldn't be positive about it. I believe it would be better if I had a negative feeling about it, and then maybe not do that in the future or things like that. That is sometimes a problem, because I'm just okay with things happening or with things being whatever, because I think, I don't know how to frame this, because I'm not saying I let things happen, because I do things. I'm not saying, well, I know I'm gonna get good grades, if not, it's fine, because I do study for them and it's not fine if I don't, but I don't cry or I don't spend like a whole day in bed. Exactly. And sometimes I feel like negative experiences do push yourself, and you associate things with negative experiences, which kind of make you not want to do those things again, I guess, or not want to go back to that time period, which I guess doesn't really happen if you don't experience those negative feelings. I'm not saying I don't experience negative feelings, but I don't experience them for a long time period, or for, I don't let myself dwell on it for too long for it to actually have a positive feeling out of it, if you get what I mean. So I do think what you're saying is really good, but the thing is with negative people, For you, you dwell on that and then you push yourself back up. But a lot of people don't. And that's what I don't like. When people just stay on that negative loop and don't do anything about it. But if that helps you, then I do think there's a positive aspect to being in a negative state and pushing on that for a bit. But it's just not doing anything about it, what I don't like in people, I guess. What I would have a problem with in a relationship. But and as well, if you think of great people, they've always had, I think, like problems maybe with self-perception, yeah, or maybe like bullying or stuff like that. Like there's a lot of common negative things in those like special and bright people and people who've like with really big success. I think like I've read about this and I've listened to a lot of podcasts of people telling their life stories and how they've been in a really, really negative space for so long, and because of that they push themselves so hard that they achieve this great thing, this amazing thing. And that's a really positive thing out of that negative thing, which I don't think that would happen to me, which is bad because I wouldn't reach that high because I don't have that motivation of, I don't know, beating that negative feeling or negative, yeah, experience or negative words from other people. And it's shown that negative, like you can see from those people that that's positive. So to answer your question, I do think there's a good side of that negativity. It's just I don't like to experience it, and it obviously it's not comfortable. I mean, that's why it's negative, but I really, really feel uncomfortable in that, in feeling sad. And it's just I don't know, like I avoid it or it's actually a problem, but I just like staying in the positive. In the positive, yeah, side. Yeah, well, sorry.
I think it's just like two different modes of living, right? Either you use like the negative as your fuel in a sense, which again is like this typical story in like all of those movies. Like I could give you a long list of movies which display exactly those stories, right? And often it's, as you mentioned, these people who made some kind of significant contribution in the end. Yesterday I watched the movie Ferrari, which just recently came out. And it's a biographical movie about Enzo Ferrari, so the founder of Ferrari. And it's super interesting. But again, same story. He built that company and there were a ton of difficulties and it was a really dark place. And then he killed actually quite a lot of people. I mean, not him directly, but as part of his like car racing, like people died, like 5 children died in one accident. Right, where like a tire broke and then the car flipped over and like crashed over people. I'm not quite sure if that's like the actual truth. At least that's how it was in the movie. But it's again the same thing. Like you go to darkness first into a really dark place, and then that gives you a reason to go the other way because you don't want to ever go back to that place. But then again, what I find so weird and contradicting is that I, for example, because you mentioned that, you know, being in a bad emotional state is obviously uncomfortable. And I would totally agree on that. But what I find so strange and contradicting is that when I'm in a dark emotional state, I also find it very uncomfortable. But for some reason, I like something about that uncomfortable state because it makes me feel again that, like there's potential to go back up. And it gives me this feeling that I might be like one of those characters in those movies, which is in this place now, but with the outlook on the future that there might be something way bigger. And again, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that's probably a very like bad and unhealthy behavior. Yeah, it also reminded me of something which I think we talked about. So I think I mentioned that I wanted to get a tattoo sometime in the past. So right after my 18th birthday, did we not talk about this?
No, you've never told me about this.
Yeah, so after my 18th birthday, I was actually considering getting a tattoo. And I was considering getting one with my sister at the same time. She's a bit older than me. And we were planning on getting one together in Amsterdam. because at the time she was studying in Amsterdam. So yeah, I was considering just going there with her. We had already booked an appointment at the tattoo store. They had the designs, everything was ready. And then like 2 days before the appointment, I canceled the appointment. Because I was given a book recommendation by a good friend of mine. He was actually coaching me during that time. And we were talking about the meaning of the tattoo and all that kind of stuff. And then he gave me a book recommendation. And it was about this philosopher. His name is Spinoza. I'm not quite sure what time period. You can look it up. But yeah, it seemed like an interesting guy. And that was a specific part in the book which he wanted me to read because it had a relationship to my tattoo. But then I read the entire book and he explained these two really interesting concepts which directly link to what we were just talking about, which is the difference between what he called the good man and then the other man. I don't know what the other one was called. But basically he explained that very often the reason to do something, we always take a cut to the negative first to then get to something. So for example, often we say, I'm going to go for a run outside to not be overweight, right? So instead of saying, I'm going to go on a run to get fit, which would be what he would call the good man, so you go directly to the good thing and that's the reason why you do something. The other thing which we often do is taking like this path to the negative thing first to then motivate us to do the good thing. So we say, again, I don't want to have diabetes, that's why I'm running. I don't want to be bullied at school, that's why I'm buying like cool new sneakers so I fit in. I don't want to fail the exam, so that's why I want to study more. And it's like taking this shortcut to the negative thing first and then to the positive. And what he presented, I mean, obviously you can argue that, is that you should always try to go use the positive thing as the reason for your actions. And I guess, again, that's just like these two different modes of living. And I think it's actually quite admirable. You seem to try to take the positive thing. If you have like something bad going on, you say, okay, that happened. I can't change anything about it. But let's not forget about the thing I'm trying to achieve here. Let's just try to do it better next time. And that's like this positive approach, right? And then what I do often is doing the other thing. I say, damn, this didn't go well. That's terrible. I never want to let this happen ever again. So that's why I'm doing maybe the same thing you might be doing, but it's like from a different perspective.
Yeah, but if we look at the results, I think your way may work better. Not saying it's the best way because you are experiencing more negative feelings, which are bad, like for health in general, like stress, those negative feelings, like stress and disappointment, stuff like that. But if you do look at the outcomes, I think that way like works better.
But so, it's sad if that's the case, isn't it?
Because yeah, it just means that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it because I prefer feeling better, but it is frustrating that, it is again my fault. There's probably like so many positive people who are also disciplined and consistent and achieve great things. So, yeah, but as well as there is people who are very negative and don't achieve anything because they don't get back up. So, yeah, it's just, feeling those feelings, but then controlling them to what is best. Not what you want necessarily, but what you want that is good for you.
Yeah. I also do ask myself to what extent it's also just a question of the narrative that is being pushed forward in our society. Because that's like a perfect example. Like all of those movies, they very intentionally go there. And they, again, lean into the negativity and then lean into the positivity. And again, it's very, it's like really highlighting the extreme difference of like the negative and the positive. And it's supported by, you know, intense music. Obviously, when these accidents happens, right, for example, with Ferrari and his first like races with his cars and the accidents that happened, during those accidents, there was no underlying like super dramatic music, and there wasn't like a slow-mo version of that and everyone seeing like how the bodies were being like cut into half by the car, right? That wasn't the case. I mean, it was obviously a terrible, terrible accident, but there wasn't that music to lean into that even further, right? And apparently, I guess, you know, these narratives are being told, and you also have this like, I mean, it's this typical like hero narrative, right? The one going into the darkness to come back out, or like the story of like rags to riches, which for some reason catches people and people enjoy that story, and it's being told over and over again with different people, right? Take Steve Jobs, take other people. Yeah, and I mean, I think it also comes back to this like hustle culture also. Especially if you look at the business world, for example, and you then take these rags to riches stories, you will have the same thing, right? They sleep under the desk. They work like tirelessly day in, day out. They don't get sleep. They're depressed, blah, blah, blah. And then they get the big reward. They get their cars, their house, their Victoria's Secret models. I don't know. Could obviously also be women achieving those things, but they might also want Victoria's Secret models. So. Who knows? Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, that narrative is being pushed forward everywhere, and maybe that's also a reason why we believe. I mean, I think it's almost kind of sad that you think you'd be better off if you leaned more into the negative things, because I think it's like great and like so admirable that you try to keep a positive perspective on things and that you don't beat yourself up. Because I don't see, I mean, yes, it sounds good, and in these movies, it always works out great, right? They have a lot of money and everything at the end, but I think, wouldn't it be nice if one could just be positive and have like a stable development? And that's a question for the gods to answer, I guess.
Yeah, that is something to think about, and I guess said like that, I do agree.
Yeah, nice, I was able to convince you.
Yeah. I mean, there is a reason why psychologists want people to be positive, I guess. But because if this is kind of contradictory to what I was saying earlier, but after hearing what you said, I just want to like emphasize it further. If it was. If negative always resulted in great things, then psychologists would be like, well, it's okay, lean on it to do this. But no, they want people to change their mindset. Because to be fair, in those movies, they do achieve like maybe like riches or whatever. But does that mean they're going to be happy? No. Again, that comes from a positive mindset to what you've achieved and changing your mindset. So at the same time, I guess getting good in life also involves changing your mindset if you come from a dark place.
Yeah. And of course, I think you could always still argue that these people might have actually still been the positive people in those difficult moments, right?
That's true. It might have looked
like unbearably difficult from the outside, but they always kept a positive mindset throughout that. So
true, because negative things still happen to positive people, obviously. So
Of course, like these movies are still also just like the exception, right? Other people will lean into like a negative state or experience something negative, and probably the majority of those people will just be, you know, brought down to their knees, right?
Yeah,
it's a brutal world out there, and I'm not trying to be too negative, but whenever I think about the world, I mean, we live in like the wonderland of the world, right? Our lives are still difficult. Of course, we have our challenges, and I'm not trying to undermine that, but our problems are still among like the nicest problems to have. And when I talk to like other people who have gone through like more difficult things or more existentially difficult things, it does give me kind of a negative outlook on the world and like the general atmosphere. If we took the sum of all experienced atmospheres or perceptions on the world, I feel like it'd be more on the negative side. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I'm not a scientist, Maybe it's also because I'm a German, and German philosophers tend to be the most nihilistic people on the planet. Maybe it's just part of my German DNA, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'd have to analyze a lot of things to really know.
Let's go into research.
But yeah, I mean, probably there's more bad than good. Well, not probably, I have no idea. But I don't want to think about that. And I guess it
is... As a positive person, of course not.
I mean, that's kind of avoiding thinking that, which is not good, because that is something that's true, it's not. So that's something we should think about. But I just don't want to, so. So what was I going to say? That's, again, about, like, thinking about death and stuff like that. It's not that great. But what I'm saying is, I think it's also kind of hypocrite. Do you say, like, hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite? Or do you say hypocritical?
Hypocritical is the...
Okay.
Yeah, hypocritical.
So I think it's kind of hypocritical... to say, yes, I have a really positive mindset when my life has, when I know I have a good life, like, I know people may have better life, I still have my problems, obviously, everyone does, but I haven't been challenged in a way a lot of people have. I haven't, my family is alive and things like that, that we also have keep in mind, like, you say you're negative, but you haven't faced real problems, like, no,
yeah,
sorry, really hard problems, to know how you would react to that. And same with me, I might be thinking I'm really positive, but might drown in, if something happens, might react really badly to it. And I just want to say that it might be a bit of, like, a bit naive in my part to say I'd be angry if someone doesn't react well or doesn't do anything to stand up and get better when I haven't done that myself, because I haven't had, like, I haven't experienced that, which I'm grateful for, but I can't really say that. So I'm just rectifying myself there, because I just thought about that. And yeah, that's true.
That makes, like, sense. But I guess it comes down to, again, like, the shared privilege that we both have. Like, for me, going into the negative emotional states, it's also just a pure indulgence, right? Because I choose to do that by listening to, like, sad music or, like, watching, like, a dramatic movie. I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of, like, ridiculous. That I consider that, you know, my way of, like, experiencing bad emotions. That's, again, like, an indulgence and, like, a privilege. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's just, like, how it is to some extent. But, yeah, we just gotta make do with what we have and, you know, try to make the best of it. And I feel like that's ultimately... I mean, we've gotten really nihilistic here, but I think ultimately that's, like, really all we can do. And that's also what will benefit everyone the most, right? If we at least, like, don't waste that privilege of having the opportunity to be positive about things. If we don't waste that and are still negative despite having this very, very rare chance of being, you know, positive and happy.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe that's a positive note where we can end this, like, with a, like, small smile at the end.
Yeah.
This reminds me of, like, this, like the penguins from Madagascar, right? How they always stand and, like wave and then smile. That's how I think we should finish this.
Okay, we can just, like...
Yeah, let's wave. Nice.